text comes from John's Gospel, chapter 15, portion of John's Gospel, where Jesus is using a great deal of metaphoric language. He is the true vine. He is the bread of life. He's promising that he is Lord of all and our Savior. And one little verse explains why he wants to make that point. He says, "These things I've spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full." Each of the Sundays in Advent have a theme, and each of the Sundays in Advent have a theme that's the same every single year. So this is the 33rd Sunday in Advent, on which at least it makes sense to talk about the notion of joy. And you can only say, in so many ways, take the joy that God gives you and spread it around to others. So I want to turn the whole notion inside out a little bit today, focusing on just two words in that one little verse. "These things I have spoken to you," Jesus says, "that you may have my joy and that your joy may be full." Now, ultimately, the message comes through in about the same way, but I was intrigued by the idea that God, through Jesus, one and the same in lots of ways, experienced joy. Now, joy is different than happiness. Happiness and sadness are opposites of emotions that really depend on a time and a place and a circumstance. Joy is more foundational. It's one of those fundamental gifts that we know is always there but don't always feel it. And the opposite of joy is not sadness. The opposite of joy is despair, that which makes depression a terminal illness in some ways when people end their own lives. So there's a really powerful dynamic between despair and joy. And I started to wonder, if God also experiences joy, what is it that causes God to despair? So I want to start there and work backwards, with the idea that perhaps our ministry this year might consider the notion of bringing him joy. To bring him joy, what would that involve? Twice a year in my other job, I have the experience of, I don't want to say a God-like experience, but it's sort of God-ish when I post grades. And the computer system at Tech is flaky. And if you post a grade that turns out to be in error, it takes an act of Congress to change it. And since I have almost 600 freshman students, what I did this year was I posted the spreadsheet of their numerical scores a couple of days in advance of posting the grades, so that the students could look at what their score was and how that matched to the grade, and, as it turns out, respond to me in many and various ways. I timed it. I posted the spreadsheet, and 4 minutes later, I got an email from a student saying, "Oh my gosh," or this, that, and the other thing. "Is there any way you could bump it up a little bit?" And I wanted to say, and I did say, but not quite, I wanted to say, on every exam, you were given 2 points bonus if you were smarter than a fifth grader. You got to drop an exam, whichever one was the lowest. You got a 5-point boost on each of the last 2 exams. And you got 20 points in this class out of 270 just for showing up. What more can I do? Right? And invariably, the 15 or 20 emails I got from students that said, "Oh, can you please just give me 2 more points, are those that could have gotten easily anywhere from 16 to 20 more points just by showing up, going, "What more can I do? I've given you everything." God-ish. "What more can I do? I've given you the sun, the moon, the stars, the love of other people, a bountiful earth that brings forth all kinds of food and other good things, and every single night you ask me for something else." Despair. I wonder if God ever feels that. Well, I wonder what it might be that we could do in a very specific sort of way to bring him joy. Not to, in some sense, I mean, okay, what does God need from us? It's sort of like the mentality behind the 5-year-old that leaves cookies out for Santa, right? You can't compensate Santa for all of the gifts you get at Christmas, but it's a token of appreciation that might make him smile. Okay, well, to bring God joy, first of all, I think we might consider, I want to say let go of a grudge, but I know that's impossible. Loosen the grip on a grudge. How's that? And I know I harp on this all the time. But it's especially poignant in the context of the idea of God's even despairing exasperation. Like, can't you even do that a little? You know? It's why the parable of the ungrateful servant is so frightening. It's the one where the servant has this massive debt to the king, and the king just forgives it for no good reason. And like 9 seconds later, the servant comes out of the king's palace and throws another guy in jail because he owed him 2 cents. I mean, you know the story, right? And what's so scary about that is we more or less know we are capable of just that. Are we not? Because there are people that drive us berserk. I mean, we can pause and name them if you want, but then I'd have to say, pray for them, and you won't want to. Let loose of a grudge, I think, would bring him joy, because it would let him know that we've at least caught the meaning in the story. Now, I say let loose because I'm a work in progress on this. I have a list, just like you do. And I have sent incendiary emails that people richly deserved. And as soon as I hit send, I immediately felt sorry that I had done that. And then I had to send another email backing off of it, right? But I wasn't really sorry, and I really did mean it. So I've grown from that. I have written incendiary emails, written to people that richly deserved it, and then hit delete instead of send, which is always a good idea. I'm working on, in fact, this happened this week, I composed an incendiary email in my mind to someone who richly deserves it, and I didn't write it, so I didn't have to send it. That's progress. To bring him joy, let loose of a grudge. I mean, hold on to it if you must, but loosen it up. And see if you don't take a breath and imagine that the Lord High God, who told you that scary story, might at least crack a smile to bring him joy. Secondly, I think the sound of laughter is among the most joyous things that we can hear. It's why if you go to YouTube and you just search for baby laughing, there's like a million videos of them, and each one of them has like a million hits, because we really get a kick out of hearing a child laugh. I think God gets a kick out of hearing us laugh. The more I learn about how the Bible is constructed, the more I imagine that for reasons that I think have everything to do with instilling fear and control, that the writers of the scriptures have edited out a lot of the humor. I know it's in there. I know it was in there, because Isaac, son of Abraham's name in Hebrew, Isaac means laughter. Get the joke? And I think, you know, in the New Testament, there's not a lot of humor. I mean, there's a lot of gentleness and all of that from Jesus. But the Zacchaeus story cracks me up. He's this social disaster. He's this traitor. He's this tax collector. And oh, by the way, if that wasn't enough, he's like this tall, right? He's this comical character that literally is up a tree because he's really stuck in his life and wants to change it. Jesus calls him down. They have dinner. I have this idea that after dinner, Jesus says to Zacchaeus, "Zacchaeus, stand up." And Zacchaeus goes, "Already standing up." Get the idea? Such a riot, you know? So I think that laughter brings him joy. And then I'm going to take a little interlude from preaching and just tell you my favorite Christmas joke. Well, it's my favorite Christmas joke that I can actually tell in church and put on the internet. But nonetheless, joke involves Rudy and Sasha from old country, right? Come over to U.S., escape communist rule, former Red Army soldier. Come from old country to Minnesota, which is just as miserable as old country. Make them feel good, Rudy and Sasha. Rudy and Sasha going Christmas shopping, have to come from country into town. Weather starts to threaten. Sasha says, Rudy, going to snow. Slow down. Rudy goes, no, it's rain, no problem. I put on cruise control. Snow, it's going to snow, Rudy's. No, Sasha, it only rained. They go back and forth and back and forth. Finally, Rudy pulls off the road, shuts the car off, turns to his wife and says, Rudolph the Red Nose Rain, dear. That's pathetic, isn't it? To bring him joy, to laugh. I mean, at really stupid things. Because we're full of it, aren't we? That's why I love this place. There is an unusual lack of pretense I've discovered in this town. Because we know we're all a little bit nuts. We know we're all a little bit flaky. And laughing it through and laughing it off is really the backside of anger. And it dials it back and moves us forward. And I think may bring him joy. Let loose of a grudge. Share a laugh. And on a far more serious note, perhaps, keep silence. It's this wonderful passage, be still and know that I am God. I got a note this week from the presbytery, a fellow pastor in the presbytery, and I think one of only two in the whole presbytery that's been serving in his church longer than I have. His wife has been ill for some time, and actually got two emails, one saying that she was very near death, and the other that her life had ended. And what a lousy time of the year for that to happen, you know. And he's pastor in the presbytery, and the executive presbyter is his pastor. But I've just, you know, brought myself back in sort of silent thought for him. But also, you know, all of us who do this work, but all of us who are part of churches, have been with someone around that event. Because that's part of the mystery and cycle and really miracle of life. Life begins and life ends, and it's a solemn moment. And I think we do ourselves a disservice when in preparation for that we say, well, here's what I'm going to say when that happens. Well, there isn't really anything to say that matters a whole lot more than your presence. People used to say, so-and-so has had this happen, so-and-so is ill, so-and-so's wife died. I'm going to go sit with them. The ministry and the power of sitting with and keeping silence makes room for the indwelling of the one who is always with us. It's not as important that you say something profound as it is that you bring your profound presence into the midst of even great sorrow. So I think in a lot of ways it may even bring him joy to know that we know that in our stillness, maybe even in our silence, we make room for the one who never leaves us and whose strength sees us through. We all know we've been on both sides of the sitting with part. And we know that in retrospect, we can't imagine how we got through that, but for the presence, the real presence of one another. To bring him joy, let loose of a grudge. Share a laugh and be still and know. I guess to bring him joy might be best summarized by saying enjoy this moment for whatever it is. We registered people for the food bank this week, and these are people with difficult circumstances in their lives. Some of their own making, doesn't really matter. You know, difficult circumstances are what they are, and people have to figure out ways to slog through them. You know, there was a guy that was telling me a story about 11 years without a leg from diabetes, another woman that's 3 years clean from meth addiction, and so on. You know, I mean, everybody's got a story. And yet, what was even transcending that, and my job was sort of the ombudsman on the outside, making sure people got to where they needed to be and all that. So I was hearing a lot of stories, and I was watching them interact with one another. And almost without fail, they would meet and greet and embrace and share greetings of the season, even in this difficult circumstance of coming to where, you know, and it is kind of a degradation ceremony to have to, you know, justify the fact that you need free food and all of that. In the midst of that difficulty, being able to enjoy the moment in the company of other people. You know, and we've been doing this a while, so we've got, you know, there's less of the trepidation. There's more of the appreciation. And so I think the transcendent idea to bring him joy is to enjoy whatever moment there is under whatever circumstances we find ourselves. That they may have my joy and that our joy may be full. Oh, one more thing. If you're really searching for a place to find laughter and joy, tell a knock-knock joke to a kid. I'll even give you one. You ready? Knock-knock.
Who's there?
Let's try that again, Maureen. Knock-knock.
Who's there?
Ach.
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 Bless you. Bless you, says the Lord High God. Bless you today that you may have my joy, so that we can bring him joy and joy to the world. Amen.